I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana. Thanks for joining us for the podcast today, brought to you by Blackfoot Communications.
Blackfoot Communications is excited to announce new voice services for small businesses. Paired with our internet services, business Wi-Fi, and technical support, your business can stay connected to your employees, customers, and communities around the clock. Sign up for services in less than 2 minutes at goblackfoot.com/morethanvoice. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
We talk a lot. Maybe it's not enough. I think the message is getting through. We talk about the pushback and how it can be effective. Moms for Liberty is one of those areas where folks are pushing back. That's not the only area. There's a ton of areas, but why are we pushing back? Because I feel maybe that we've been pushed around. We is in general for, I'm thinking parents, mothers, and fathers who are looking at the future for their kids and wondering, are we on the right track for that? The 68th Montana Legislature took some steps down that right track. We talk about that today on Voices of Montana. From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana, an objective perspective, and I appreciate you being here. 2 decades strong, as I say, and if we talk about this issue, I don't know. It is as serious as any issue out there, I think, and maybe it's hard to get, you know, we kind of open the show real light, and we joke with Johnny, and he wasn't in the mood today, I guess, there's no joking matter here. If we don't do a better job, I think, of protecting our children, we'll have failed in the most miserable way as a generation, I believe. And so we talk about that today. I think it's important. The 68th Montana Legislature did take many steps, and a lot of those are challenged as well. And it is a challenging road. Let me welcome our guests, and we'll get into this here today. Representative Carrie Seekins-Crow, House District 43, for the time being, I guess. That has changed a little bit. Welcome. How are you today?
I'm fabulous. Thank you so much for having me on. It's what an honor.
Thank you for being here. And Jenna McKinney, former guest host of the program. You're with the Office of Public Instruction and the Montana Family
Rights Alliance.
Rights Alliance, yes. As well. How you been?
I've been great. Thank you, Tom. It's an honor to be back in the studio with you.
Yeah. Let's just start, Representative Carrie Seekins-Crow. As I noted in my opening, I think maybe we're failing in some ways in protecting our children. I think this legislature took some steps in that regard, but they weren't easy, were they?
There were some definite wins this session, but there were definite losses that I took very seriously because I do think we have failed. And the reason why we're failing is because we're taking away the ability for parents to be parents. We're taking away the ability for businesses to make the decisions that they need to make for their families, you know, through this whole concept that government is bigger, government is better, we know best. And the same thing that's happening with businesses or the same thing that's happening in our schools, same thing that's happening with our families as well. And that is scary.
Jenna, I want to get your opinion on that as well. Parents to be parents. And I know that you guys are very dedicated parents as well.
Absolutely. And you know, we've in my personal family, we've been in and out of public school. And so we've seen firsthand, I had one child in particular who dealt with some mental health struggles through public school, pulled out, recovered. But my heart is for the kids, and I want to see them. I know there's many teachers out there who love these kids and are in it for them as well. So there's just dynamics going on that need to be addressed. Parents are trying to do that. That with my job at the state level, I hear from these parents frequently on the dynamics that they're struggling with. So our heart is just to try to put these communities back together in a way that we, you know, we make public school the best place for kiddos in our community.
What is the number one issue, I think, that would help or that parents are facing today when it comes to guiding their children?
I think there's a lot of frustrations, but two of the biggest ones that I encountered when I was speaking with parents and even in my own life dealing with my own kids was that our schools are failing to educate, and we're seeing that in the numbers. If they're failing to educate, we need to get back to educating. But the other thing that has been happening is schools are taking away the ability for parents to be parents and to be a partner within that education. And I think that that is frustrating for a lot of the teachers as well.
And, you know, there's some parents, because on the school side, I've done the Educator for a Day program. And what these teachers deal with on a day-to-day basis is a lot. There is a family unit breakdown that comes into the school, and the school's left trying to figure out how to manage children with struggles. It's not all mental health issues that stem from in-house at the school level. There's family dynamics, there's cultural dynamics going on. Some of that's played out through social media, some of it's family life. So there is a dynamic that we need to deal with in the big picture. But the parents who do want to come in and be proactive and engaged should never be discouraged from that. And that's a problem when that happens.
And I think it's actually very healthy for parents to be coming in, because I think that they can help, you know, to cultivate some of those relationships with those kids whose family dynamic has broken down. But at the same time, when we're making laws, we're making big laws at a level that impacts all people. And so that's why I actually had my House Bill 676, and I was very thrilled that the governor signed that into law, that just basically stated that parents can be parents. We can get our children's education records, our hospital records. I mean, right now in the state of Montana, there's hospitals out there that won't give parents the hospital records for the kids ages 12 to 17 unless that kid signs a proxy. That is tragic, especially for families that are broken apart. Or even the school says, parents, be involved and know what your kids are checking out at the library, but a parent can't find out what their kid's checking out at the library. I find that that is tragic as well.
We actually had a call on that particular issue with a parent trying, you know, a fine and potential graduation issues with diploma if they didn't get their books turned in because they, you know, would then owe money. And the parents said, that's fine. What are we missing? And they couldn't get that information from the school that was protected for the child. And that's a problem. You know, the parents are still, children are best served when the parents are involved in the kid's life and they're still overseeing that child. And for them to be prohibited and need to get permission from the child to get information on the child, that's a problem.
And I hear you say that, and I'm reminded of this NORAC, Wall Street Journal poll that says America is pulling back from values that once defined it. And I think that's very disturbing in a lot of ways. I mean, it's a very lengthy and substantial poll. Do you think that's true? Do you see us pulling back? And then how? And I've mentioned we are pushing back in a lot of ways to retake some territory, I believe.
I think that's the crux of the culture war. Really,
I think we're being bullied back. Actually, I mean, look what happened during COVID. We were bullied into submission for a lot of states, and people who didn't put up with that bullying were fined, were jailed, especially in a lot of other states that went a lot farther than Montana did. But we are bullied through ESG. We are bullied through business practices. I mean, businesses say, "But if I don't agree to follow this standard, I will have my banking taken away." And that actually comes down into our families too. If we don't agree to have our children acquiesce and behave in a certain way in the schools that acquiesces to this woke culture, then those kids are bullied as well as the families are. And I think that that's how come our families are pulling back from some of these really important cultural aspects that we've had in the past that make us America.
Representative Carrie Seekins-Crowe, again, House District 43 in studio. Jenna McKinney is with us as well with the Office of Public Instruction. Pardon me. I know, a funny slip of the tongue there. Let's talk about, as you mentioned, banking. And when you try to push back, you find out that there's a community against you. But I think you're seeing maybe this that it is a very connected and very large community that's pushing back against parental rights and against protecting the children.
Yeah, I think as people realize what's happening, you hear over and over again from folks, not in Montana, this isn't happening in Montana, but as the stories roll out and as people experience things themselves, you know, as things are pushed through corporate world with DEI and ESG, and then in academia, it's SEL, as that push comes in and people are, you know, fighting fighting what that means. You know, people are rising up and they're pushing back. And that's definitely, in my opinion, the crux of the culture war.
It's been very amazing, too. And you and I had spoken briefly about this, about the bullying that's out there. And I'll go ahead and mention this. But at the end of the session, there was a story that broke nationally about me, a very interesting story. My daughter had just got off deployment. She's in the Navy, stationed out in Norfolk. And I'm very, very proud of her and what she does for our country. But just as the end of the session came about, of course, a lot of stress was happening because of the Zoe Zephyr issue and everything. But a story broke out about me that stated that I was the GOP mom who encouraged my daughter to commit suicide instead of transition. Now, the crazy thing about that is that it went viral immediately. And then the threats, the bullying came in on me. I mean, we're talking thousands an hour that were coming in, and very stressful. But the purpose there, one, the story is totally false. Yeah. One, my daughter is not trans. Two, as a mom, you know, having dealt with, you know, suicidal inclinations and everything like that, and trying to figure out how to deal with that. And, you know, my daughter and I have a phenomenal relationship, but it's a story that I told because it was very important to know that there's parents struggling out there. We need to get it right because we do have this one child and it's very important that we get it right. And, but their position was not to get it right. Their position was to bully me out of speaking up, to bully other parents. But the greatest thing that ever happened through that is I found that there's a community and we are all struggling and we need each other. And it's huge. I mean, when I came back to Billings, I didn't know what was going to happen, but I found that a lot of people supported me. They were there. And this was nationally. Nationally, I got a lot of support. It didn't matter about the party. It was not Republican, Democrat. It was moms and dads and a community that's struggling against these factors out there that we have going on internationally against our children.
It really goes to show how quickly it can happen and also how misinformation does travel and does hurt people.
Yeah, my daughter's not trans. And I mean, the only thing I ever wanted was for my daughter to have a vision, to have a life, to be successful. And, you know, we are blessed that we are one of those families that we came out on the other side. But we all have a story. And what's that story? And how do we help each other out with our stories that we have to tell?
When you talk about bullying, though, and you go to the NEA declaring parents as domestic terrorists for engaging
us.
I mean, that's just the whole nother level. It's from the top down that it's happening.
And it's encouraged.
I'm gonna find this after a break here. The Southern Poverty Law Center and Moms for Liberty. I mean, this organization, I don't think could be any more really benign. And they have listed it as a domestic terrorist organization. I
consider that a badge of honor.
I guess so. Again, it feeds into that thousands an hour who are misinformed and angry about something and just acting out. I mean, so I want to ask you how you emotionally, because as mothers, you're obviously focused on your families. I've seen that personally from you guys. How does that make you feel?
Initially, it's a huge weight. It's very heavy. It's very strong. But as you realize, and that what's really amazing about what's happening in Montana is that there's this groundswell. And I have to thank Jenna for being a part of that with, you know, her organization and what they do, because we found we have a voice. We found we have power, and we are on the right side of not just history, but culture and our children and what's going on. I had mentioned earlier when you and I were speaking that this isn't just about our children. This is about our workforce. This is about taking care of our families as we get older. Older, taking care of the youth as they're coming up. This is about taking care of our communities and safety, being healthy. This is a big deal because it's all wrapped up together. And I think that, it's heavy. It's hard. And, you know, we get on our kids about bullying at school, but the bullying is actually adults bullying one another and the kids are just watching.
Interesting.
Yeah. And, you know, I have a little bit different perspective in a way, because as a person of faith, I feel like, you know, in a way it doesn't shock me that I'm surprised we've had such a great culture in America for so long. But as we pull away from a country that embraces faith and encourages that, I think we're seeing the result of that in many ways in the public square.
I think there were a lot of good big steps, but I maybe a few big steps, but I think there were a lot of little steps taken in this last legislature.
And
I want to talk about that when we come on back and continue, obviously, discussing the controversies around it as well. It is something that we all, I think, have to push through to get clarity. We're back with more Representative Carrie Seekins-Crow and Jenna McKinney today on Voices of Montana.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Protections for our children, better protections, and also shoring up parental rights as well. I think that's a huge one. Representative Carrie Seekins-Crow, House District 43, is with us as well. She grew up born in Hardin, Billings, Montana, master's degree in business education, a realtor. You guys are both realtors now.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes, we are. We work together.
Do you work together?
We do.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep. We have a small brokerage. I'm the broker. And Carrie and I, and we have one other agent that's a cohort with us, and yeah, it's great.
It is, definitely. And I just want to mention, I actually carried Senate Bill 99, Senator Fuller's bill that he did such a great job within the Senate, and then I carried in the House. So that was a very interesting bill to carry.
It was
scary because it's such a issue.
Let me introduce Ari again. Okay. Jenna McKinney is also with us here, just a director of family engagement with the Office of Public Instruction. So apologize for that.
Oh, absolutely. A very interesting bill because it's such a huge, weighty issue, right? I mean, as a person who absolutely believes 100% in parental rights, but saying, no, you cannot decide to give your child a gender-altering, life-altering care at that age. So how do you come across on this issue with courage but yet compassion? And in fact, that's kind of what started the political storm for myself. But I knew I was the right person to carry the bill, and I'm very glad that I did. The first time we had that bill, it passed 65-35 in the House. And then the governor had some amendments coming back, which were very good amendments as well. And then we did pass at that time 66-34. It is such a big issue, and it's very, very emotional. And that's where the problem comes in, is that the argument is, if you do not give not just gender-affirming care, but actual medical, hormonal, or surgical care to your child, they will commit suicide. And I just don't buy into that. Because when somebody is in that much angst, when they're in depression, when they're going through that much turmoil, they reach out in a very interesting way, and that is to try to convince everybody else that they need to be in chaos too. And that's where we reach out to people who have the experience. We reach out to counselors, pastors, other parents who can say to you as a parent, yes, I'm here to help, because parents are in turmoil. And I'm not saying it's not a thing. It's very much a thing, and I appreciate that. But also, putting somebody on cross-sex hormones, that's a very serious thing as well. And that is not something that's not permanent, or giving them surgery as a minor. And we're seeing a lot of people now come forward and say, I cannot believe they allowed me to do this.
How that affects a child who's in development, whether it's breast removal, cross-sex hormones, puberty blockers, some of those things affect a child in a life-altering way. So why would we go to the most drastic resolution right out of the chute for a kiddo who's developing and not emotionally developed? Why would we go to the most extreme measure to help that child process what's happening for them, whether it's mental, emotional, whether it's a cultural thing for them that they're processing and trying to figure out? Why would you go to the most extreme measure to try in an attempt to stabilize them? Why would you not I think of medicine, like when my father had heart issues, right? They start small and they figure out what they can do. They don't go in evasive. They try to do the most invasive things last, right? They try to do these other measures to help a patient recover. And so why with kiddos who are in development, would we go to this most extreme invasive type of surgeries or
permanent too?
Yeah. And life altering, you know, some of these young ladies who've had breast removal will never be able to, you know, breastfeed a child when they become mothers, if they can become mothers, because then if you're on cross sex hormones or puberty blockers, it's going to mess with your body. And so I just think that was kind of the crux of SB 99 is why are we doing that under the age of 18 when these kids are still mentally and emotionally developing?
And the other thing you got to think about is that once you take a child down this road, or anybody, even an adult, they're a patient for life. And so I think they follow the money on this, and that we have had, I mean, look at COVID. We have had a lot of very unscrupulous folks in medicine, and not all of them. There's a lot of great doctors out there who, you know, and I'm glad that Representative Regeer passed the rights of conscience bill this time so that they can follow their conscience on these kinds of things.
But I think what Carrie's alluding to is, you know, big pharma and the hold big pharma has on our national government officials and what comes through, what's able to be done at a local level because of federal laws. I mean, big pharma's involved in that.
And that goes to show the size of the opposition, I think, as well. And the power of the opposition, and we've seen it play out over this COVID pandemic, and especially in the aftermath of the pandemic. I think people are reevaluating, and that's important. I want to come back and talk more specifically about some of the bills that you guys liked, and maybe get into some of those details as well. And still talk in general too about what is needed. How do we address the issues, and then what our kids understand about this as well? It's a different world, I think they get that. Are they aware? Can they protect themselves as well? We'll be back with more in just a bit here. Representative Carrie Seekins-Crowe and Jenna McKinney.
Blackfoot Communications is excited to announce new voice services for small businesses. Paired with our internet services, business Wi-Fi, and technical support, your business can stay connected to your employees, customers, and communities around the clock. Sign up for services in less than 2 minutes at goblackfoot.com/morethanvoice. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
All right, back here live, Representative Carrie Seekins-Crowe. Carrie is with us here. Jenna McKinney, Director of Family Engagement for the Office of Public Instruction and Administrator for the Montana Family Rights Foundation, former co-host or a guest host of the program. It's really good to see you again, Jenna. And Carrie, thank you for being in studio here.
Such a pleasure.
So let's get into Senate Bill 99. Okay, it's being challenged. But there is, I think, a movement, and I'll note that here with some Rasmussen surveys across the country of people pushing back on this. What in that bill, in and of itself, where do you think it'll go in Montana? I mean, we after that discussion, I know that it was very partisan. The end of the vote on it. Was there any kind of understanding on both sides? I mean, better understanding on both sides, or did we just get farther into our corners after a discussion like this?
Yeah, I think that's right. And then I think where it goes from here, I mean, our courts in dealing with issues have been known to be some of the most liberal activist courts in the country, our Supreme Court. So I think that is kind of telling of the direction of all of it. One of the bills that I thought was one of the hallmarks of the session was Senate Bill 458, Carl Glenn bill, that defined sex. Yep. And I mean, we're having to define males and females. But I thought it was interesting that came out and that Montana passed that bill. And I think that's a good sign and a good indicator of where Montanans stand on it.
I want to ask Carrie, though, because when we talk about parents and improving our fundamental rights or defending them, that's not a political issue. Are we seeing maybe that play out?
Well, I think that the opposition is very well organized. They're very well funded, and they've got a narrative, whatever that narrative may be, that they pass around. I mean, we hear it in the news all the time.
The narrative is they're the professionals.
Yes, that's true. With the and they get the like the APA or other medical organizations to come in also as well and say, you know, bless your heart, but we know better, and people buy into that, and so they kind of the useful idiots. But I think now that our side is getting organized as well to come in and say, hold on here, I love my children best, and. I do believe that the community, and we were created for community, is very important. But with the erosion of families, with the erosion of community, it's just ripe for takeover from this this Marxist ideology that says, you know, the government's going to come in and we know best and we're going to take care of you. And so I don't tend to go in that direction until I've seen this happen. Yes, we are definitely in two different camps. If you want to see bipartisanship, look at the Republican Party, because there you can see all sorts of discussion, arguments, viewpoints within the Democrat Party. There might be, but they go behind the curtain and discuss it, and then they come out united, especially on the social issues. You might see some of them on the financial issues stray a little bit, but when it comes to social issues, they're going to go and they go to the farthest, most extreme direction possible.
We're going to come back and then take a gander at some of those bills that passed and maybe some of those that failed as well. As we noted, and Carrie, you noted too, small steps, House Bill 502, you know, increasing the notification for human sexuality instruction in school.
Yep, that one failed. We can talk about that.
We're back with more here in just a bit on Voices of Montana.
Blackfoot Communications is excited to announce new voice services for small businesses. Paired with our internet services, business Wi-Fi, and technical support, your business can stay connected to your employees, customers, and communities around the clock. Sign up for services in less than 2 minutes at goblackfoot.com/morethanvoice. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Hope you're out there kicking it today. Appreciate you joining us, making us part of your Montana mornings. Again, it's two decades and working on three from Montana for Montana. This is according to a Rasmussen Report survey. This was even a year ago, and there's been, I think, more movement on this issue as well. But this is a majority of Americans, and it doesn't matter whether it's Republican or Democrats. This is non-political. They don't think children should be exposed to critical race theory in school before age 16. And 42% think they shouldn't be exposed to it at all. And then 58% don't think children should be exposed to lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender lifestyles at such an early age there as well. The as we talk about the American public and shifting values, we also see signs of reaffirming our values as well. And a lot of that came out of the 68th Montana Legislature. In studio here is Representative Carrie Seekins-Crow, House District 43. Carried a couple of those bills successfully. And then also Jenna McKinney is with us. She is the administrator of the Montana Family Rights Alliance and also a director of family engagement with the Office of Public Instruction. Again, thank you guys for being here. I'm just going to open it up to you, Carrie. I think I noted a couple of bills that we had talked not quite on the air, but go into 502. I mean, I think that's an important one.
502 was a very important one. Senator Kerry Smith had carried a bill that was successfully passed last time. It was the other Senate Bill 99 that basically just said that schools must inform parents if there's going to be human sexuality instruction. Well, some of the school districts implemented policy that either made it very difficult for parents or made it very difficult for the schools. Some schools said, okay, we're just going to inform parents at the beginning of the year that your child will encounter human sexuality instruction. And so that made it almost impossible for parents to opt their children out. In our state, we have an opt-out, not an opt-in. Or what they did in some schools is they said, you will inform the parents if there are two raccoons holding hands. And so that made it very cumbersome on the teachers, made it very difficult for the parents to kind of wade through what they should have or they should not have. What my bill did basically is it says that you will inform them between 10 and 2 days. There was such a kickback on that. The kickback came from, of course, the liberal, I call it the alphabet soup, like the Montana School Board administrators, their lobbyists, or the union. They didn't want that. They don't want your parents to be knowing what's happening or going on. Very interesting. I talked to a mother whose son is in kindergarten, and they were going to have human sexuality instruction in kindergarten. And she says, I'd like to see what you are showing him. And they said, well, it's a video. It's proprietary. You can't see it. She said, fine, I'm pulling him out. Kindergarten. Yes. And they told the parent, no, you cannot see it. We should be concerned. Yes, it is happening here in Montana.
I just talked about this on Thursday, and I won't go into it, but I talked about a kindergarten homework assignment that asked kindergartners, where in your house is a private place to essentially touch yourself? That is a kindergarten homework assignment.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, Tom, when you were mentioning critical race theory, I was thinking about the idea that, you know, somehow we're not presented the alternative theory and presented these things as theories. Mm-hmm. Now it's woven into publications and curriculum, and the kids don't even understand what's being presented to them in the big picture, right? It's not, there's one theory for this and here's the alternative theory or multiple theories surrounding that, right? It's woven into the curriculum, and you're only catching it if you have kind of depth of thought of subject matter, and you can look at this and go, huh, this is kind of odd. What is this? There's still people out there who are like, what exactly is critical race theory? And so they're not teaching what is critical race theory, and here's some alternative theories that that challenge that. It's infiltrated through curriculum publications. And then for a kid who's not, intellectually developed and, learning from the teacher, they're vulnerable to just getting the idea that this theory is the theory.
Well, in our school districts, not only are teaching that, and a lot of teachers, I don't even think, are really understanding the full implication either, but they're also encouraging children not to talk to their parents about it, not to trust their parents. And we saw that in a lot of different stories that we dealt with, that through counseling, your parents will never understand, so do not, bring them in on this issue. And I find that that is absolutely tragic, that we're not reaching out and helping our families, helping our parents or dealing with this. And I find it so funny that they want children to be in charge of their own health care between the ages of 12 and 17. But all of a sudden, when you turn 18 or become a parent, you're not smart enough to do that anymore.
Right. You're not the professional. There was a heartbreaking story out of an area in Montana, and these folks came in and testified during the session on their daughter turning 18. Adios. They thought it was teenage development issues. It was months of devastation for them. When they finally started cleaning out the kiddo's room and going through their stuff, they found a journal that noted all the things that this child had been told through the district counselor. And essentially it was that the parents can't be trusted with their gender issues. And this went on for several years. And it really alienated the parents from this kid's life. The damage to this family was immense and still goes on today. And that was one of the heartbreaking stories that they offered some testimony on some of these parental rights bills during the session. And those folks did that at their own dime, and lots of suffering in that family.
I got anonymous letters from teachers that said, this is what we have to do. We are told not to inform parents. We have to lie to parents. This is here in Montana, in school district 2, actually. I also got a transcript from a parent that a child had recorded a conversation in a school, talking about how they were going to defy these rules, the House Bill 502 telling parents when there was human sexual ed instruction or, any of the rules that the laws that had been set. So a teacher was telling these kids, this is the way that we must, because I love you best. I know what's best for you. So you must defy these laws and your parents. Very interesting to read through this and see the children just buying into it, because this was an authority figure. This is somebody that people are telling them, you must trust this person. And they are. And then their trust is misplaced because they're no longer depending on their families, their pastors, any other advice that they may be getting from wise counsel from other people as well.
And then arguably, that ends up fostering the breakdown in family rather than helping heal it.
And the stories are all too frequent nowadays, too. And they're all too devastating. I appreciate.
Can I mention very, very quickly, though? Yeah. There was a shining light in this whole thing. We did watch our Our superintendent of public instruction, Elsie Arnson, she came in and was very much supportive of the family the whole time. She's very supportive of different choices that parents need to make to educate their children in a positive manner. I'm not going to say she was, you know, just against the others, but she was for parents, for educational opportunities, and for coming up with new innovative directions and ways that we can accomplish this in Montana. So it was always very wonderful working with her in her office.
You know, one of the great highlights in working for the state superintendent was our community meetings that we did. You know, the meeting in Great Falls, when you have the struggle and breakdown in communication between the parents and the school district, was those preliminary to the legislative session, she had the legislators come in, she had the administration and educators come in, and she had the community members, particularly parents or families involved in the kiddos' education, come in. And those were very insightful meetings because you could see the breakdown. You could see the dynamics as the dialogue went, you know, and the microphone was passed around. And it was in the public square, which is what we should be doing.
She's not getting enough credit, I think, for all the work that she's doing there. And I know her head's down and trying to accomplish as much as she can in her time there. I looked at that because there was just hit piece after hit piece on that. There's 40 years of bureaucracy in that institution. It is all Democratic bureaucracy. So, you know, it affecting change at that level, it certainly... She had some challenges.
Absolutely. And yeah, we still have a lot of work to do. I know that we've got some upcoming events. I'll let Jenna highlight that. But right now, I mean, here in our state, our children are being taught that they are not uniquely and wonderfully made. That is very sad. We've got teachers who are told that they must buy into this lie to keep their jobs. We've got parents who are living in chaos and wondering, you know, how do I you know, live. It's always tough living through, especially junior high and teenage years. But how do we do that better? And we're being led astray. So we, as a community, have a lot of work to do as parents. And if there's something that I can do on a legislative level, I hate doing things at a legislative level, though.
I know it's community
because it's community,
and empowering parents. I think too, because I'm very very encouraged that is a movement. Even at the legislative level.
Me too, Tom. Yeah. I think that's actually one of the great things that we can take away and be proud of Montana for is that I think what was clear through that legislative session is that family is one of the core values of being a Montanan.
Let's take a break and then come back. And we haven't done a good enough job of this, so we might have to do a little lightning round. But some of these bills, House Bill 37, generally revised child abuse and neglect laws, that passed. House Bill 16, similar, a little bit different. That was Jennifer Carlson from Churchill on the House side. Dennis Lenz did a lot of work on the Senate side. A lot of those little bills were good as well. We'll come back and have more on Voices in just a bit.
Does your home qualify for a $70 discount on your internet bill? Blackfoot Communications is proud to partner with the FCC to help ensure that households can afford the broadband necessary for work, school, healthcare, and more. For more information on this federal program and to see if your household qualifies for a discount on your internet service, visit goblackfoot.com/ACP. Connect to more with Blackfoot Communications.
Well, he's calling it a career, but not quite yet. I think his last Montana rodeo is upcoming, though. Flint Rasmussen. I mean, the name in Montana just, I think, it spells rodeo done right and rodeo clowning done right as well. Flint Rasmussen will join us in studio tomorrow. We're in studio with Representative Carrie Seekins, House District 43, and Jenna McKinney, close personal friend of Flint Rasmussen, for crying out loud. Actually, you guys did grow up not too far away.
Right, yep. We grew up about 20 miles from each other. Yep, he's a good friend.
Is he always clowning?
You know what? What a career he's had. I mean, he's not just a clown. He's an entertainer. He can sing. He can dance. He can do it all. It's amazing.
Yeah, so that'll be cool. We've been looking forward to that. It's sort of final thought time, maybe lightning round time, but I do want to get into some of the bills that either were discussed or passed. I mean, just the little steps. And I'll ask in general because some of them have had journeys through the legislature, but there were a couple of measures to generally revise child abuse and neglect laws. Carrie, what was needed there and what was accomplished?
Well, I think we just need to give a little bit more teeth or maybe kind of round up our CPS, our justice system, a lot of the things that we're dealing with right now, that we did deal with are, you know, safety. Safety is something that's really big within our community right now. And I believe, and I actually do a lot in this area myself, we need to get people through the system better and faster and then out of the system healthier. And, you know, so the parents can parent better once they get out, so that they are a part of the community, working, and not just this recidivism that we have as well. And so some of those bills just kind of shored up some of that, helped out our police in those organizations as well. So that's what some of those did. And I'm, you know, really proud to have, I'm really proud to serve with some of my colleagues who ushered those through.
Yeah, you know, I think the theme of the legislature is there is an overreach, and government is not the answer for everything. They certainly are. They have a job of safety and security, but they aren't the solution.
Here's a little one that I think could make a big difference. Again, when you it was by Senate Bill 115, Dennis Lentz, and it was signed into law. Enormous support there, really, especially in the Senate. 75-22 in the House. Redefining psychological abuse. It's those sorts of things where courts look at and use whatever, I think, interpretation they can to meet their personal agenda.
Absolutely. And I'm, like I said, I'm really proud to work with Dennis Lentz, or, you know, just kind of follow in his footsteps, because he actually has done a great job at ushering a lot of these bills through, because psychological abuse is very, very important. One of the bills that I actually was, blessed to carry was about a lethality assessment. When a lethality assessment is given at a crime scene about how dangerous an abuser can be, judges can now use that in determining next steps for the perpetrator. And just another little bill that was actually carried by Senator Jen Gross, a Democrat here in Billings on the other side, because this is not about politics. This is about giving tools to our justice system and to our Department of Corrections, and also to Department of Justice, as they go about trying to handle these things in our communities.
So a lot of little steps, some major steps, and the challenges, the dust has yet to settle. What's left to be done?
There's a lot left to be done. Our families are in crisis. Our communities are in crisis. We have crime going on the streets every day. And I think those are hard issues. Like Jenna said, we're both women of faith. And once you get government involved, I think it becomes very difficult. So how do we as a community kind of regroup, retake a look at that? And it's not that I want my values to be imposed on somebody else's family or child. Right. I just don't want your values to be. I love the discussion. But, you know, for you to be taking my child into that school system and saying, this is the way you must believe and you cannot trust your parents, that's where I draw the line. And I really struggle with that.
You know, I just want to add something. We had a Freedom in Education event the other night, which Montana Family Rights Alliance was a co-host on. And in the closing, I noted that the preamble to the Constitution talks about the calling on our life, which is to secure our blessing to our posterity. And I think we have to go into these mundane school board seats, local committees, whatever it takes. We need to stay in the fight.
Whatever level it is, like you say, wherever it is, too. I appreciate you guys' leadership on this.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's been an honor to be here.
Keep it up, okay?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Tom.
Back with, we'll see you tomorrow with Flint Rasmussen. How about that?
You've been listening to Voices of Montana. Comments and opinions heard are those of the host or callers, and not necessarily those of this station, sponsors, or Northern News Network. Join us Monday through Friday at 9:06 for Voices of Montana.